city.
Good morning. We serve a God who does nothing by coincidence. In his divine will, he knows exactly what's happening and what he wants. And so we do not view it as just an accident that there was a misunderstanding about who's to speak this morning. And so the temptation at a time like this would be to try to figure it out and take control ourselves instead of just letting the Holy Spirit lead. The Holy Spirit was the topic of the scripture and prayer for this first thing this morning. And so I'd like to read that text and just let him take it from here. This comes from John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. And in Romans 8, it says, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And so that's what we're asking this morning. And I ask you to join me in prayer, and all of us collectively ask the Lord to lead this morning in the power of His Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, you know all things. You hold everything together. You have everything so well planned, and we trust you for that. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your confidence, for asking us to put our confidence in you. In Christ's name, amen. I'd like to have you picture with me this morning the first time when you experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe you're obedient to the call of God on your life, and He asks you to surrender everything to Him. And I remember in Acts 2:38, it says, after repenting and being baptized, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when that happened? The most exciting day of my life. There's nothing that will ever come close to that. My feet were not touching the floor. I was so incredibly excited, knowing before that point in my life, if I died, I'd just go straight to hell. And after that, I had this promise of being with Jesus for eternity, and I just, so excited about. I was studying in Boulder at CU, and I went back up there to talk to friends of mine and tell them I'd become a Christian. And I didn't know what they would say. I just knew the Lord would give me what to say. Still remember one of my friends, John Pinckney, and I, we committed ourselves together to Christ. And then he told me that there's some others on campus that had become Christians that he knew of. And God was at work. And so I just asked him to guide me and who I met and what I would say to them. And I experienced his power, his work in an incredible way. And hearts changed. So it's really Him. Jesus said He wants us to gather with Him. So letting Him take control is where it's at. So this morning, I grabbed three other guys and I said, could each of you have a little talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? And I'd like to ask you, Brother Josh, if this is a good time. I could take care of this little guy for you.
Morning, everybody. As Tom mentioned, it was dropped on me at the front doors that I was speaking today, so totally unprepared. No, it's okay. It's God's purpose. It's not for us to understand God's path for us. To be completely honest with you guys, when I moved here, can you hear me now? When I moved here 14 years ago, I was at rock bottom. I was at rock bottom. I hold that thought. He wanted to say hi, though. I was, like I said, I was at rock bottom. I was in Texas. Failed marriage after failed marriage. Failed family. Drug addiction. Bad choices. Something... I know now what it was. It was the Holy Spirit. But at the time, I had no clue what it was whispering to me, telling me to move to Colorado. I had nobody here. No family. No job prospect. No money. And I was in the homeless shelter where I met my wife. I began reading my Bible sitting in the middle of the Platte River downtown. It was hot. You're homeless, it's hot outside. So I was sitting in the river reading my Bible. And everything that's happened in life is by God's design. It was meant to happen. I was being humbled. I was being taught that I wasn't all that in a bag of potato chips too, you know. Because prior to that, I thought that. It's a journey, and the Holy Spirit was nudging me. The Holy Spirit guided me through some situations that some people don't make it out of. I'm not going to go into all the different situations, but if you could picture a bad one, I was in it. And the Spirit was there. Even when I hadn't chosen the Spirit yet, the Spirit was there guiding me through all of that stuff. And, you know, 14 years ago, I was sitting in the Platte River reading a Bible, wondering where my next peanut butter and jelly sandwich was coming from. Fast forward a few years, God blessed us with two more little boys. We own our home. We have two vehicles. Two fridges at the house are full of food, you know. Here I am standing in front of you guys. 14 years ago, you wouldn't have wanted to walk past me on the sidewalk. But God was working on my heart. And the Spirit was there whether I knew it or not. And the Spirit's with you whether you see it or not. No matter what you're going through, there's a reason. There's something to learn from it. There's something to take away from it. And He's working in all our hearts. We just have to be quiet. And know He's God. Hear when He's whispering to us what He's telling us to do. Right on.
Well, as was said earlier, this was dropped
on us without any warning. But as we've been studying downstairs through the letters that John wrote, it seemed very very timely. I've discovered through life that there's no such thing as a coincidence. God's timing and God's hand is in everything that we do. As Christians, we have some amazing promises. We are promised that the Spirit of God will be in us and will guide us. Last week, as we were studying through John, the 1 John chapter 3, I think it's chapter 3, maybe it's chapter 2, but we are promised that that we have the Spirit of God in us that discerns for us that which is true, that which is right, that which is proper. As a child of God, we have a Spirit living within us that we can rely on, that we can trust, that will give us discernment over situations, that will give us direction in life, that will give us hope when things are looking down, when things don't look the way we would plan them. There's a promise, there is a Spirit living within us that gives us a joy and a confidence that this isn't the end, this isn't where it ends, this isn't how it ends. As children of God, we know that this life is a very temporary thing, and really eternity is where it's at. So if we keep our focus on the eternal, it helps us get through the times and the situations down here. As Josh was saying, God will take situations in our lives and manipulate them, whether it's to humble ourselves so that He can work with us, to change a situation, to move us someplace, to put us where He wants us to be, where we can be used, where we can be needed. One of the things that I've seen in my life, and I've told a few of the folks here that this was not the church I was going to go to. This was not. I was looking for a small congregation, a small body of believers that I could be part of. But I had absolutely made up my mind that it was not going to be the church in Aurora. And thank God that He didn't listen to me. And in spite of my plans and my ideas, He has brought me here. And He has allowed me to be part of the ministry, part of the in the mornings. I've been blessed with being able to have the Bible study as we go through different books of the Bible, slowly, methodically, trying to dig out of the Bible these things that can relate to us in the time in which we live, which is, again, the way the Spirit of God works. God had different plans, and as He brought me here and has lifted me up to do other things, there's not a one of you here that He won't do the exact same thing for, that He won't lift you up, that He won't bring you to a higher place, a better place. God has a plan for each and every one of you, for each and every one of us, that if we learn to humble ourselves and be led by His Spirit, it will lead us to things that we don't even imagine. He's got better plans for us than we can have for ourselves. I didn't see the scriptures that then I'm not going to take the time to peruse more closely that I was looking for to read directly out of. So maybe that wasn't the plan. But in life, as we journey forward, I encourage you prayerfully take time to spend with God, to ask Him. Take time to be in His Word. Take time to study. Take time to get away from the noises of the world. You know, when we drive our cars, it's so easy to have the radio on and to have stuff going on and things happening. I encourage you, turn the radio off. Spend some quiet time. If you can get out of town, so much the better. Spend some quiet time with God. Take time in your house. Take time in your mornings. Take time in your evenings. Set aside time to pray, to read, and to ask God to use you. Knowing that God created each one of us individually for a purpose, for a situation, for a reason, ask Him to lead day by day. And I promise you will be amazed at the conversations that He will put you in, the people that you will meet, the things that He will allow you to say to people. You will lift people up. You will build people. You will make the world a better place. Because God resides in you and He will use you as you travel. We are told, you know, to love God with all our hearts and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And your neighbor is those people that are around you, whether you're driving, whether you're at the grocery store, whether, you know, whether you're on the golf course or wherever you are, those people around you, those are your neighbors at the time. Take time to encourage, take time to say a kind word, take time to lift them up, because this is what the Spirit of God would have us do, is to build people up. And if somebody is on your heart that has done you wrong, take time to pray for them and take time to say, Lord, it's difficult for me, but I forgive them. And with your help, I ask you to forgive them and to give me a heart of forgiveness.
It says the mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And so He's going to ask us to seek first the kingdom, and a lot of many other things going on in our lives. And it's really a step of faith, because we'll think that we have to do something that we don't have to do. And instead, God has something else in mind. And so as we seek first His kingdom and put that first, He shows us how it works. I'd like to open it up to others here this morning to express how the Holy Spirit has worked in your life. Something I've seen is that the Holy Spirit does not like negative thoughts, critical thoughts about other people. He wants us to encourage people around us, not to criticize them in our mind or by what we say. And whenever I've done that, I feel this distance start to happen between me and the Holy Spirit. And I've hated that. I don't want any part of that. So He challenges me to really pray in faith, believing for my brothers and sisters, the people who He's put in my life, might be someone at work or a next door neighbor. He has a way for them to come to him and wants us to be in his hands. So I'd like to open it up. Do you like to share with us how God's Spirit has worked in your life? Go ahead, Becky. You can, sure.
Brother Tom, I have to say, you know, I like what you said about, you know, and Josh too, how we have to be instant in season and out. You know, God wants us to be available at any time, and God wants to use each and every one of us and following the Holy Spirit. And, you know, sometimes we all go through rough patches in our life. You know, things have not been great for me, but, you know, I'm still able to come to church. I'm still able to do what I can do right now. I'm not able to do a lot, but I can do something. And God wants us to do something for him. And the greatest time when Tom mentioned about the Holy Spirit and how God fills you with the Holy Spirit and how God uses you in the Holy Spirit in a powerful way. I remember the time I went to the Philippines and God used me to preach to the ladies there. And I got to pray for different people. And God used me in Haiti, and I got to preach and pray for people in Haiti too. And so I preached that one morning. It was a women's meeting. Like, we call it the Colorado Handmaidens at my other church. You know, kind of like a handmaidens meeting where all the women, oh, the women's Bible study here. How we had a service, and different women came from all over. Well, you didn't get there by car. Guess how you get there? Well, you get there by car as far as you can, but then you got to take a boat to get to another island. So I got to this church, and there was a church here, beautiful church, about this size, a little bit bigger, about this size. But across the street was a house about like right here, maybe across from where the neighbors are. And I preached. I prayed for people. And there's one lady I prayed for. And the Lord really touched her. And I didn't know these people from Adam to Kardashians, whoever. I didn't know these people. First time I ever seen these people, I prayed. And let me tell you, when you don't know people, you really, really do depend on God and Jesus to help you. When I did, this one lady got touched, and somebody came to me after church and said, you know what you prayed for that lady, that was God, because she was going through some things. She was going through some family stuff, some drug issues and all kinds of stuff. I didn't know it, but God knew. And when I prayed for her, God touched her. Right after So we went, after that, we went and had lunch. And then we came back. Or before we went to lunch, though, the pastor's wife came to me. She said, after church, we're going to go over and eat, but can you do a class after church or after we have lunch? I said, a class? You want me to teach a class? She says, yeah, we need to teach a class on livelihood. I thought, oh, Lord. So I sat down and I said, God, I was not prepared for this. But God, I'm asking for your Holy Spirit to help me, to speak through me. I need your wisdom right now. I don't want to say anything out of school. I don't want to slip and say the wrong thing. Because you know how many times we all slip and say wrong words. I still do. You know, and I prayed. And then she said, well, kind of elaborated what she wanted me to teach. What can we do to work? We want to work for God. We want to do something for God. When I did, I gave him ideas. To make a long story short, I read different scriptures out of the Bible to work and show thyself approved. Use the talents that God gives you. Some of you can cook. Some of you can preach. Some of you can teach. Some of you can clean. Some of you, you know, everybody has something we all can do, and God wants us to use us through all that. So when I did, I taught them. But one lady says, but sister, we don't have stoves. Because I was talking about cooking something and, that, you know, baking. But sister, we don't have ovens. Another lady said, hon, but sister, we don't have ovens. When I looked across the way at the house. I saw a two-burner stove. To make a long story short, I said, you guys, pray for me. I'm going to come back next year. I'm going to see what I can do, get you guys some stoves. And in my mind, I thought of not one stove, but two stoves. So I thought, Lord. And when I thought, after the fact, I thought, what in the world did you just do, Becky? You just, I said something out of faith. But when I got done, I thought, wow, what did I just say? I got kind of scared, not going to lie. I said, the spirit of faith spoke out of me that day. That 1 year later, these ladies got the stoves and they opened up a pizza place. So they started making pizza and selling and witnessing to other people. Place grew, revival hit, all because of one seed. So guys, follow the Holy Spirit. Don't ever be afraid sometimes to step out there and step out in faith.
Okay, anyone else?
Hi, church. Yes, ma'am. I just got to say that I love every one of y'all. Y'all are amazing. And that one day, I was in high school, and I graduated 2011, so this was a while ago. And this one girl, Bethany, she was getting bullied and everything. I looked at her, she was crying her eyes out. I said, Bethany, look at me. She looked at me. I said, you gotta stop crying, hon. Don't let them see you be weak. You be strong, because I know you are strong. I was like, and she goes, but I'm not. I said, would you like me to pray for you? She goes, what's that going to do? I said, it's going to do a lot. You'll see. So I sat there and I prayed. I said, dear Lord, I ask you to help Bethany right now. Help her to just be strong. To get through all the rumors and all the bad talking, because she is an amazing little woman, and has an incredible heart, and you know that, God. And just help lift her up, help make her strong. And the next day, people were bullying her again. She said, you know what? She stopped and she said, look, people, I'm tired of this. I want y'all to quit bullying me because I ain't no different than the rest of y'all. She said, I have a heart. I have lungs. I have a brain. So please, quit trying to drag me down to your level because I'm not going there. And after that, everyone stopped and they just looked at her like she was crazy. And I told them, I said, look, just because she's not like you guys does not mean make fun of her. It does not mean bully her around and pull her down to your level. Because she's one strong little lady. And everyone looked at me, and one person came up to me and said, "You know what, Marie and Bethany, y'all are right. I'm sorry, Bethany." And after that, there's a line of people coming up to Bethany apologizing. And I said, "Lord, thank you for opening their eyes." And I just love God. That's all I can say.
Yes, sir.
So at first I thought, well, this isn't a story about how the Holy Spirit's worked in my life, but I want to share Kate's story. And then I thought, wait a minute, it is, because you know how God crosses your paths with people. So I did a little stint at a company called Modern Woodmen of America for 2.5 years, and I went to Illinois to school, and there was a gal there from Maine, and you know how you just know you're among a like-minded person. You know that person's a Christian just the way they act. So Marianne and I like became thick as thieves really quick. And I actually went to Marianne and Dale's house. They call them camps there instead of cabins. And they turned their camp into their home on the lake. And after my late husband passed, I went there and sat on their deck and communed with the Lord. And they drove me all around the beautiful fall colors of Maine. And it was a very healing time for me. They're beautifully faithful people. They're Gideons. They put Bibles everywhere. They carry New Testaments. They go out to dinner. They ask if they can pray for the server, and they give them a New Testament. They're very faithful people. Maybe when I grow up, I'll be like them. But anyway, they introduced me to Kate. Kate and Jack run Coldstream Inn on Upper Coldstream Pond, and they dedicated it to the Lord, and they struggle with finances sometimes, but every room has subtle messages about how the Lord loves you. And so they really are trying to be a refuge for the soul. Recently, there's a young mom who has a 5-year-old who's going through a horrible breakup and divorce, and the husband's very narcissistic, and he's just beating her down and saying horrible things to her, telling the daughter, "It'd be better if your mom just wasn't here. This would be better for all of us." Horrible stuff like that. Anyway, they've taken her in because God said, Kate, you said your place is a refuge for the soul. It needs to be a refuge for this mom. So they've taken her in. So this morning I wake up to this on Facebook from Kate. And she says, "Good Sunday morning. I took myself for a swim early this morning in my nightgown. I woke up seeking to spend time with my dad." That's what she calls our father, her dad. It's a very intimate name for him, I feel like. "So I ran downstairs and I just walked right into the lake. Now, I brought a towel and a bathrobe because, you know, I can't walk around in a soaking wet nightie, even if it is pretty private here. The thrill of doing something spontaneous never disappoints. Alone in the lake, I swam out around the Toast, which is their new swim float out there. I knew I was not alone. My king was swimming with me. On the dock, Tippy and Catechus," that's their two cats, "sat watching me dive and splash, and the sun shone down in a great splendor while I heard a loon calling somewhere across the lake and the birds chirping up at the feeder, and I felt so alive. Today, in the routine and mundane, trying to find a way to step into something spontaneous, something unusual, you won't be alone in it if you ask Jesus to join you. You'll never have a better or more loving friend than King Jesus. Give him a shout out today and ask him, 'Lord, want to take me on an adventure?'" So then she gives us some scripture. "He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. Hallowed be your name. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, be glory." So just a little into the story is that both Mary Ann and Kate have introduced me to other widows that have been part of their life. So here I am encouraging widows in the state of Maine because they know what I've been through and what I post on Facebook, which is a grief share post every day. They connect me with those people. And so it's just beautiful to see the Holy Spirit at work. And it speaks, Bill and I talk all the time about how you have to be equally yoked in your relationship, but you have to be equally yoked in your neighborhood and your city and your family. And, you know, it goes out from there. And it can't always be that way, obviously. But the more we do that, the better off we are, the more fortified we are, the more encouraged we are, the more Kate can post a prayer request that I'm praying for all these states away from Maine and those kind of things as we all seek the Lord as two or three are gathered. So it's been fun to be in this relationship. I met Mary Ann in 06. So 20 years of this. So anyway, wanted to share that.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary. I think we've had some really good illustrations of how God works. And if we simply listen to Him and do what He says, it'll all work out so well. And as we do that, He changes our hearts and gives us a whole different set of values. I remember before I became a Christian, I wanted to drive a Porsche. I wanted to live in one of those big houses down around Cheeseman Park. And then I heard Jesus said, easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to make it in heaven. And as soon as I heard that, I said, please, make it so I'll never become wealthy. Why would I want to put myself in that kind of predicament? Easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than me to make it into heaven that lasts for all eternity? Crazy. So I remember we used to sing this song, Things Are Different Now. I was changed. It says, things I loved before have gone away. Things I love far more have come to stay. He just gives us a whole new set of values. And helps us care more about other people than we even do about ourselves. Amen. So the challenge this morning is to really listen to the Holy Spirit and let Him do in our lives what He wants. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Spirit and that we get to have Him as our constant companion throughout the day today, throughout this coming week. Thank You, Lord, for showing us Your strength and Your power and rewarding us for seeking You. Thank You, Lord, for Your great kindness. In Christ's name, amen.